I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Little Fish, the show when we look at your amazing facts that you've been sending to podcast@qi.com. Andy has whittled them away to the very, very cream of the crop, and then we pick out the plums, mix all our metaphors, and just chat about facts. So who's got a fact?
I've got one to kick off.
Yeah.
This is a fun one. This comes from Daniel Hamer, and it's about the island of Kiribati.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Island or islands?
It's islands.
The islands. Apologies. It's starting with an apology now. I'm sorry to the people on the other islands of Kiribati, apart from the big one, which is the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Daniel's fact is, the word for dog in Kiribati is kamea, right?
Okay.
And that is because it's a bastardization of English derived from the time dogs were introduced to the English and locals heard the English calling to their dogs, come here, come here.
Really?
Yeah.
That's come off it.
Is
that
no,
true?
No, come here.
That's a different breed.
Well, I looked up the language a little bit and it's called Gilbertese as well.
Yeah, because it's the Gilbert Islands, but it's Kiribati is how you write it, Gilberts.
It's so strange. Yeah, they were called Les Îles Gilbert, and Kiribati kind of derived from Gilbert, Kiribati. So you can sort of see how it happens. But previously, they were known to Western visitors as the Kingsmill Islands.
Okay. After the bread.
After the bread.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah. There you go.
Very nice. I got one here.
Go on, Dan.
This was sent in by Arth Wallapot, who has added in brackets an internet name. Thank you for the clarification, Arth Wallapot, who says that there is a species of Chinese ground spider whose technical name is Hot Wheels Sisyphus.
Okay, so Hot Wheels as in the little toy cars?
Yeah.
And, is it?
Yeah, and Sisyphus as in the
Greek guy who pushed the boulder up the hill.
Exactly, yeah. And yeah, it was discovered in China, and just the nature of how the spider moved reminded them of Hot Wheels, basically. And so they gave them this name.
I wonder which will stand the test of time for longer. The story of Sisyphus, the ancient 2,000-year-old tale of the guy being punished for all eternity, or the Hot Wheels brand.
Are Hot Wheels the ones where you pull them backwards 10 times and then let go and they go really fast?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They probably are within the Hot Wheels world. They are also just small cars, and you get those big plastic loops that you can send them around. And
loop the loops.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if Sisyphus had to push his boulder around the loop the loop.
Nightmare. Yeah. That was probably level two if he ever got to it, which he never did.
Because I think that's worse in a way, because when you get to the top of the loop the loop, you have this amazingly satisfying moment where you can roll all the way back down the other side.
Yeah.
But if he never quite reached there, it's even worse. And I've been to the hill where he allegedly pushed the boulder.
Have you?
Yeah, it's in Greece.
And what do you think? Could you have... You've done it?
No, I couldn't. It's not that high. It's just outside of a city whose name I can't remember, near the Peloponnese.
Okay.
Right.
And it's as you're in the town, you can see this big hill, and the locals say that's where he pushed it.
Did you say allegedly? Funny. Because Sisyphus is famously litigious.
he'll sue you, and then tomorrow he'll sue you again.
I suppose I didn't mean allegedly. I meant according to legend.
Legendarily, yeah. Hey, this is interesting. Hot Wheels. Do you know who invented Hot Wheels?
Someone who's famous for making maxi size cars.
Someone who's famous for toys.
Oh, okay, we can get this. A famous toy person.
Erno Rubik.
Lovely.
I'm excited to know that you know who the inventor of Rubik's Cubes are as your first go-to.
Well, how many other toy makers do you know?
I don't know.
Sir Edward Yo-Yo. I don't know. What's that?
Gary Scrabble.
What's her name? Millicent. Who did Barbie?
There we go. There we go. She was called Ruth Handler.
Oh, Ruth Handler.
Hot Wheels is invented by her husband, Isidore Elliot Handler. He created Hot Wheels. He created Creepy Crawlers. He created Chatty Cathy. These were all massive in their day.
Sure.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I'm sure someone is right now strip mining the intellectual property to try and desperately turn out another Barbie level movie. Yes. Out of Chatty Cathy. It's happening.
Chatty Cathy was one of the pioneers of pulling back a string and having a voice come out.
Yeah. Just like the doll being a pioneer. It's just a funny idea, that's all.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, very cool history.
Okay, I've got a fact here from Mira Brown. And Mira wrote in from Canada, and they said that Jack Daniels has become a bellwether of Canada-US relations. Okay, so there have been, if you've been following the news, Donald Trump has been calling Canada the 51st state and been putting lots of tariffs on. And so there's been a lot of boycotts in Canada of American goods, and especially of alcohol, and especially of Jack Daniels. And I want you to guess what the percentage drop in sales in Canada of Jack Daniels has been in the last month or so. And because I know you two are going to mess up this quiz like you always do and bet like a billion percent or something.
Right.
I'm going to put a prize on the line. So I've been to the shop and bought some whiskey.
Oh, wow.
So the winner.
Proper whiskey or Jack Daniels?
Proper good whiskey.
I'm really excited. And also, I'm so annoyed because I do the emails and I did not pay any attention to this one. God damn it.
So what percentage of sales down since Trump and Canada got into beef?
By the way, James, this is an amazing incentive structure you've put on the table here. It's fantastic. I should know this because I have been to the Jack Daniels distillery, as I've probably mentioned before.
Have you?
Been to Tennessee.
In the last month?
No, during like geopolitically calmer times.
Right. But they call you up when there's been a change in sales numbers?
In 2008. I'm probably on the mailing list still.
All right, who's going to go first?
Okay, I will say 72%.
Drop. Okay. I'm going to say...
Is whiskey on the line?
0.5%. Not even 1%. 0.5%.
Wow.
Oh, well, you don't like whiskey then, I suppose.
Well, I still could be closer to Andy's
end. Yeah. If you're anything under, 36%?
Yeah.
I'm afraid... Dan, the answer is 62%.
Oh,
so
yes.
Andy, there you are. You get your whiskey.
Are you serious?
There you go.
Very nice.
Now,
oh my God, this is lovely.
It's really nice, isn't it? Open it up.
Yeah. What is it?
It is to do with my facts that I'm about to tell you.
Oh yeah.
This is like Inception. This is amazing. It's called Uncle Nearest.
Uncle Nearest.
1884. Oh, and it's from Tennessee. Lovely.
Yes. So it is named after Nearest Green. And Nearest Green was born into slavery and emancipated after the Civil War. And he was the guy who taught distilling to Jack Daniel of Jack Daniel's fame. And the company Uncle Nearest Incorporated created this whiskey. We're not advertised by these guys. I just went to the shop and got it. They created this whiskey in his honor. And Uncle Nearest Whiskey, their master blender is Victoria Edie Butler, a descendant of Nearest Green and the first known African-American female whiskey master blender.
Cool.
That's terrific.
There you go.
Thank you very much, James.
Beautiful.
I'm actually getting to the end of a bottle of American whiskey right now.
Yeah?
Are you? Yeah. I currently don't drink, so this is fine.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
Yeah.
James, you've just given me a prize, and I'm afraid I'm about to not return the favour, because this is a fact you won't like, basically.
Okay. Oh.
But it's that, and this fact comes from Jay Bagley. The majority of the world's citric acid, which is added to so much of our food, is derived from industrial vats of black mold in China.
Oh, gosh.
I know, James, you're not a fungus person.
I'm allergic to black mold.
Oh.
As in, I did an allergy test and there was like two or three things and that was one of the main ones. I think everyone's... I don't think it's good for anyone.
I thrive on it.
Okay. Well, this stuff is safe. So I'm sure you guys have heard of citric acid.
Yeah.
It's in
lemons.
It's in lemons. It's often 8% of the dry weight of a citrus fruit, just to give you an idea of what's going on inside your lemons.
Mm.
Yeah.
But... the citric acid is incredibly useful for all sorts of purposes and all sorts of foods, and it's in so much stuff. It's in ketchup, it's in fizzy drinks, it's in chewable vitamins. It cleans your kettle sometimes. If you know those limescale things you drop in your kettle, they can they can be citric acid. It's used to improve the solubility of brown heroin.
I knew it from somewhere.
You are off the drink at the moment, but you, unfortunately.
And if you can guess the percentage of citric acid.
And basically, so you can get it in fruit, but it's a real pain to extract it from fruit. And, and the world makes 2 million tons of it.
Does that mean heroin contains vitamin C?
Yes, I think it probably does.
Okay.
I keep telling my doctor.
How much would you have to take to get your recommended daily allowance?
Well, the good thing is it's Moorish. So, you know, even if you only have a little bit, you know, you'll be at your level soon enough. But basically, there's this fungus called Aspergillus niger, which causes black mold on grapes and apricots. And that is the mold that you can synthesize and use to grow and create citric acid. And wow, it's really safe. It's approved and everything. But genuinely, 2 million tons a year, if we were sharing it equally between us,
yeah,
that's 250 grams, give or take, per person per year that we're getting through.
Is that a lot?
It would probably be a lot all in one go.
Yeah.
That's probably a reason we don't do that.
What percentage is it in a citrus fruit, did you say?
About 8.
Okay, and it was 250 grams.
Yeah.
So multiplied by 12 and a half times that would be about 3 kilograms, just over 3 kilograms each of dried citrus fruits.
Of dried citrus fruits. That's very important. You got to leave those lemons in the sun. Yeah.
Wow. Very good.
Very good. Nice. I go on here from John McComb, who writes that Disney has a now closed airport where the runway plays When You Wish Upon a Star when a plane lands and goes over it at 45 miles an hour.
That's incredible. Which Disney?
We're talking Florida here.
Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this was built in 1970 or 1971. No one's actually too sure. And the idea would be...
Probably they just did it in December and January.
There was probably a spillover month to the new year. That's true. So this was built, and it was largely used for the official Disney plane called Mickey Mouse 1. Mm-hmm. When Walt Disney was alive, he had Mickey Mouse 1, the original plane. And
like Air Force One.
Like Air Force One. And it was so that he could go scouting for locations for possible future Disneyland properties. So that he could continue his meetings.
Okay, just quick pitch.
Yeah.
Quick pitch. The president is visiting Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
But then there's some kind of attack, some baddies attack, and the president has to flee on Mickey Mouse 1.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
And what, then like a load of Walt Disney characters in all of their outfits accidentally get into Air Force One.
That's it. And they've got the nuclear football and all of that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And Goofy's trying to work it out.
Yeah. And you have some foreign president going, who's running this country, Mickey Mouse? Which is a famous thing you would say.
That's a good... Yeah, we'll have a script edit, of course.
Of course. But,
yeah.
But you've done all the main work, I feel. So anyway, yeah, so it's not used. It's not used largely because they've built stuff too near to it. There's a monorail that means that if a plane did come in, it would possibly crash into it. So it's largely used as a parking area now. So it's still there, and the strip with the music is still there. So if cars go over it, you can still get When You Wish Upon a Star.
Because I thought from the email that it was in a whole abandoned Disney park that just wasn't in use anymore and had kind of been overgrown. I was getting a bit sort of excited about that concept.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Cool fact, though.
Here is a fact. This one is from Maxine Iglich. And Maxine says that Slovenia harnesses the power of ASMR to attract tourists. So Maxine was on the Slovenia official website for visa information. And they stumbled upon this page called The Sounds of Slovenia. And it's amazing. It's just a load of like embedded audio clips of the sounds of Slovenia.
Right.
They have bobbin lace making, Bigfoot, Dan.
I love it.
Trains, Andy.
Great.
Nice.
Yeah. No golf, unfortunately. But yeah, it's just a place where you can hear what Slovenia's like.
That's great. That's cool. I've actually been to Slovenia. I didn't hear a single bobbin lace being made.
No, right. I too have been there, and I didn't see a single Bigfoot.
No.
Mm.
And as far as I can see, Bigfoot isn't a thing that's associated with Slovenia.
No. I'm now trying to think of what my sound of Slovenia was, and I think it was the crunch as the hire car we had rented scraped along the side of an underground parking garage in what would turn out to be an incredibly expensive moment for me.
They do have that. It just says crunch, crunch.
Oh,
fuck's sake!
This is going to be 600 euros.
So I was looking at Bigfoot in Slovenia
to
see what they're talking about. And it doesn't seem to exist, but there is a thing.
As in so many places. Imagine James solved Bigfoot. There he is.
No, actually, that's the one place you'd hide if you were Bigfoot. You'd go to a country which didn't have a Bigfoot myth.
That's perfect.
Mm.
Yeah. They have a thing called Leshy, which is like Slavic in general, but they have it in Slovenia. And I was reading the Wikipedia of this sort of Bigfoot-like thing that lives in Slovenia. And apparently it has green eyes or white eyes or blue eyes. It has no eyebrows, although sometimes in some stories it has eyebrows. Yeah. In some stories it's described like a giant, but some stories it's described as a small person and sometimes he's of average height. And he wears a wide-brimmed hat or a pointed cap or has no headwear.
Mm. Dan
is nodding along like, it's as I thought.
Well, there are species. It's not just one of them. So they're going to have different fashions.
Oh, okay.
Some will suit a hat, some won't.
You know, when I went to Slovenia last, one thing that was quite interesting is we stayed in a hotel in a village. I was with my wife and the bed had a bundling board in it.
What's a bundling
incredible
board?
Yeah.
Oh, Dan, you won't know these, but
no.
Not with your number of children, but right. It's a board you put down the middle of a bed to prevent any
hanky-panky.
Yeah.
Oh.
Between a man and a woman sharing a bed.
So the idea is like in rural America, they would allow a couple to sleep together before they were married,
but
to make sure that they didn't do anything naughty, they would put this board in between. And I went to this hotel and it had a board
in
the bed.
Wow. Did you ring down to reception? Could we borrow a drill, please? No, small bed. It's fine, but
the number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is a great one. It's from Nathan Shear, and it's that the Duke of Wellington was 2 hours late to his own funeral.
Okay.
This is a thing you say about people sometimes, isn't it?
He'd be late to his own funeral.
Actually, yeah. We did a fact. Elizabeth Taylor actively organised to be late to her own funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wore two or three different outfits or something.
Did she? What? So. On the day? Yeah. So
really?
Yeah.
I've forgotten that. Anyway, basically, 1852. This was the last, I'd say, mega funeral for many years until probably, I don't know, Queen Victoria, 1901, or maybe Winston Churchill, 1965. It was a big deal because he was obviously a big deal. And basically, they made this mad steampunk carriage to sort of transport him through the city. It was modelled after ancient descriptions of Alexander the Great's funeral carriage.
Right.
Wow.
I know. It was 8 meters long, 5 meters high. It weighed 12 tons. It took 6 iron foundries to make this thing, like weeks and weeks, a dozen horses to pull. Unfortunately, what this all meant was that when it got stuck, it was a complete bastard to free. It took 60 policemen when one wheel got stuck to lift this thing up and get it back on the road.
God.
And the horses were absolutely exhausted. A group of sailors had to help give it a push at one point.
What are they doing there?
I suppose, what were they doing there?
They were just watching.
There were reps of all the armed forces there. Yeah. And so I suppose you'd have a team of sailors following the thing. But there were 1.5 million people on the route, the funeral route.
Wow.
It was just one. And think of the year, 1852. Like, the population was way lower at the time.
Do you know what the biggest funeral of all time was?
Gandhi?
Very close.
Jesus?
Nehru?
Probably closer than Gandhi, I think.
Mao?
Unfortunately, it's someone you've never heard of, so that's a problem.
Okay.
It's Anna. And Anna.
Anna Tuschinski.
Not Anna Tuschinski.
I'm gutted. She's been wondering where she's gone.
I thought she hadn't. I mean, she never texts back, so I thought it was normal.
You've been on three dots for 6 months. It's Anna. I've forgotten her name. Wow. Basically, it's an Indian politician. I think he might have been deputy prime minister or something like that.
I met someone recently. She's Indian, and she had at her wedding 50,000 people.
What?
Catered?
It was catered, yeah. Hmm.
And you were only invited to the evening, weren't you, Andy?
Oh, sorry, 50,001. Can I have a... No plus one? That's no problem. I'll come along. It's fine. Yes, I think she had political connections, and or her family were in politics. And when you have a big politician's, even their children get married,
yeah.
It's traditional that basically you invite everyone from the province or whatever it is.
Yes, right.
I just Googled the biggest funeral, and it was C.N. Anadurai. In 1969, and 15 million people attended.
My goodness. Oh, wow.
He was the chief minister of Tamil Nadu.
Blimey.
There you go.
Did you know him well? No, me neither. No.
Okay, that is enough of your facts. As great as they are, and they were great.
They were
this
brilliant.
Week, really enjoyed them. It is time to give custodianship over to some of our facts. So anyone who is a member of our Patreon at the top level, which is friend of the podcast, becomes a custodian of a fact. And so, Dan, why don't you kick us off with a new custodian?
Yeah, okay. This is for Paul Kingham. Paul, we're on episode 29 of the podcast, and you are now the custodian of the fact that in the 19th century, you could be committed to an asylum for novel reading. Very good. So this was records from West Virginia Asylum and Pennsylvania State Lunatic Hospital. And other reasons we were told about in that episode for admission included being kicked in the head by a horse, bad whiskey, and imaginary female trouble was another one.
Imaginary female trouble.
I can't remember what that was.
Is it imaginary trouble from females, or is it imaginary females causing the trouble?
Very good. Probably both, I would imagine.
Either of them's going to get you locked up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't hear the phrase kicked in the head by a horse without thinking of Brian Blessed.
Do you know this, Andy? No. It was the first time that I met Brian.
First time I met him as well.
Yeah, and James met him as well. He arrived to do Museum of Curiosity, and we went to pick him up in the main reception, and he was sitting there with a giant blue head, like the whole front of his face, nose, upward.
It was his own head. He didn't have a giant blue head by his
no,
side.
No, it was his own blue head, and he could see us clearly looking a bit worried. He said, "Don't be alarmed, old boy! Got kicked in the face by a horse!" And it had happened that morning.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in his field, got kicked in the face by a horse, and then thought, better go do Museum of Curiosity, and came along.
And was he impaired?
I think.
It was hard to tell. The horse's foot never recovered.
Oh, fantastic. So
okay,
good.
Okay, go on, Andy, give us another one.
This one goes out to Hannah Wilson. Congratulations, Hannah, because your fact, this is, I'd say, a Hall of Famer, is that the Greenland shark lives in cold water and can only swim at 1 mile an hour. Its main prey, seals, swim at 2 miles an hour.
Yes. Yeah. That was one of mine. I remember reading that and trying to calculate the speed at which the prey could escape.
Does it sneak up on?
Yeah, it has to wait till they're sleeping, basically.
Okay, here's another one. This one goes out to Ian Wolfe, an old friend of the podcast himself, and his fact is now that the head of the International Chess Federation believes that chess was brought to Earth by aliens.
That's right.
This sounds like a damn fact, but it's not.
It was
no,
James.
It was mine. Like, obviously, I'm a big chess fan.
Like
not
chess.
A big aliens fan, but yeah. I love my chess.
He said that the aliens gave us two things, chess and sweet corn.
With a gun to my head, I don't know which I would give up.
Mm.
Do you?
Neither plays a massive role in my life.
I'm teaching my daughter how to play chess at the moment. Oh, I'm trying. Basically, she takes the horses and plays Rapunzel with them.
You've got a tower for her to be up with the rook.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You just need to work a bishop into the Rapunzel story.
Yeah, because we have the king and queen, King Frederick and Queen Ariana.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm not sure where the pawns come in. yeah. Okay, Dan, another one.
Yep. This is a fact going out to Monique Julia. To attract new members, the Japanese Yakuza crime syndicate has its own website and theme tune.
Yes, I want to say I'm a big fan of the Yakuza.
Well, we've talked about them a lot, haven't we, over the years?
Friends of the podcast?
No.
Okay. They featured a fair bit. We've done their tattoos and their pinky thing as well, where yes. you have to lose a half a little finger.
And Halloween, they're very active during Halloween with kids and giving out sweets and
That's
so
true.
On.
Yeah. But they can't do the Addams Family theme tune because they can't click their fingers.
Well, they've got a theme tune chain, so they don't need to.
Very strong. Very strong.
I don't even know what that means.
Here's another one. This goes out to Kate Matthews. Congratulations, Kate. Your fact for now and forever is that the first BBC radio presenter with a northern accent was given the job to make it more difficult for the Nazis to impersonate newsreaders.
Brilliant.
I remember exactly where we were when you said that fact. We were doing a Soho gig. I think it was one of our first Soho gigs.
Oh, really? No, I think it was. Was it not Aces?
Aces and Eights?
Was it Aces? You're right. It was Aces and Eights. That's really? Right. It was a live show, regardless.
Yeah, I think it was our first live show.
Our first live show, really?
I think it must be. Episode 30.
Wow, gosh. Yes. He was called Wilfred Pickles, wasn't he?
That's right.
And the British authorities knew the crossover between Nazis and Northerners is zero. The Venn diagrams are completely, the circles are completely separate.
Well, let's see how that Norton by-election goes next week.
Oh, God.
Interesting, yeah. That's why no Nazis have ever been able to replicate this podcast.
That's right.
They managed to get you three to a T, but...
okay,
cool. Here is one that is now under the custodianship of Kerry Harvey. And Kerry, your fact is, in China, if you want to empty a building of people, you just have to play the song Going Home by Kenny G.
Yeah.
Is because it's just the song they play when it's home time.
People know it, and so if you're in a shopping center or something, they start playing it, you hear it, you're like, oh, it must be time to close.
Yeah, they play it if a train has reached its terminating point in the underground, so you know, to get off. At schools, they play it at the end of the day.
I hope they still do it, because this was 10 years ago, obviously.
It was, you know, 10 years ago.
I hope Kenny G still has the cultural cachet that he did then.
I met Kenny G as a kid in Hong Kong.
Whoa.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's big.
He was hitting on someone, and so I wasn't a welcome presence in the moment.
How old were you?
It was in a health club. I was about 9.
Did you get an autograph or anything?
I did, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. He says, please fuck off. Yeah. I'm trying to hit on this lady. Go home.
Go home.
He just whipped out his sax and played a few bars to you. Scram, kid.
That's so funny, Dan. Dan, give us one more.
Okay, this one goes out to Lindy Stevens. The two leading paleontologists of the 19th century used to destroy their fossil sites after excavating them so that their rivals couldn't excavate them.
This was the Bone Wars. Basically, they hated each other so much that they just wanted to stop any other finds being discovered on turf they'd been over. And there was a big scandal when one of them got a stegosaurus the wrong way round, wasn't it?
What, put the plates on the inside?
It's incredible this thing could live at all. I might be getting that wrong. Maybe it's a Diplodocus that had it that got the wrong way around.
Really?
But I think there was a famous incident at one point. I think it was associated with one of these guys.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's a great
story. Great. Episode
amazing. Number 30, if you want to go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
And find out more. Andy, give us one last one.
All right. This one goes out to Henry Smith. And it's the fact that in the Fula language, a computer crash is a hooky, which means a cow falling over but not dying.
Wow.
Okay.
And this
That's
was
great.
This was about Mozilla Firefox and translating into lots of languages. So there are small languages where you need to come up with new metaphors for what's just happened to your computer.
Because
they've got to translate it into all these languages, you know, so they need to say what has happened.
Where is the Fula language, do you know?
I think it stretches across lots of different countries in West and Central Africa. It's a bit of everywhere. So, yeah.
Cool.
And there are a couple of other ones which are a timeout, which is your fish has gone away.
It's a timeout.
Like when your request is timed out, fish has gone away. And an aspect ratio is a rebuke from elders when a fishing net is wrongly woven. Things we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Henry, hope you enjoy that fact and hope you enjoy them too. Lindy, Kerry, Kate, Monique, Ian, Hannah and Paul, you have gotten your facts. And if you too are a member of the top tier of Patreon, friend of the podcast, then listen out. in the next few weeks, because your name might be mentioned as well. If you would like to become a friend of the podcast, then go to patreon.com/nosuchthingasafish, and you can find information about all of our different tiers up there. In fact, you can even sign up for free and you'll get some stuff.
Some little bonusy bits that we're working on. Yeah.
So go there and sign up no matter what, even if you don't want to pay. That's absolutely fine. But we hope you come back here next week. We will be having a big fish on Friday. We'll be back here for a little fish next Monday. It's goodbye from me. Goodbye from Andy.
Bye.
Goodbye from Dan.
Goodbye.